Welcome to Off-Plan and Investments Unplugged 2, a brand new segment of our podcast where we answer your frequently asked investment questions. Welcome back to Off-Plan and Investments Unplugged 2. I'm Simon Baker and joined again by Rennie Sanger. We're here to answer all of your off-plan real estate questions. Today, we're going to be talking about how to scale your property portfolio.
We are.
So where would we start with that, Rennie?
It's an interesting one, right? Because that's probably a top question that a lot of people ask. You know, how do they almost double down on the investments and make them stronger? I think for me, probably the most popular one is to kind of have a mixed bag of investments. So not just kind of be bogged down to one sort of unit type, so to speak. So for me, that looks like apartments, townhouses, maybe villas. Of course, depending on how much money you want to spend and how much cash you have available to you. But if you did have the privilege of being able to buy multiple properties, I would definitely kind of go across the board. So apartments, townhouses, and villas. That also links back to the supply and demand element of as well, right? So as we know, townhouses and villas are massively undersupplied. I believe it's villas make up about 5% of the entire market. Townhouses just being approximately 9% of the entire market. So there's definitely a shortage of them. So if you could pick those up with a couple of really well-located apartments, I think you'd do pretty well.
Sure. Okay, great. So look, supply and demand is obviously really important, especially when we're selling off-plan. Last year, I think you touched on 5% villas. I think last year, there was only 1.4% off-plan villas that were sold. I guess as developers, land's getting more valuable and they're trying to fit more properties on, less and less independent villas are being sold. So if you're in that market, I think great. And we certainly have some investors that just buy independent villas.
That's right.
And they maybe just buy them from the biggest, best developers, which goes against the question, really, because it's, you know, in terms of growing your portfolio, they're certainly not that diverse. But the reality is that maybe they do provide the best potential capital growth, certainly.
Definitely.
Now, in terms of making sure that you can scale your investment portfolio, I guess the other thing to look at is obviously rental returns, and to make sure that you wouldn't necessarily say, right, I'm just going to go and purely buy studios and make sure I get 8%.
Yeah, of course. No, exactly.
But you would potentially want some of that to make sure. I would certainly, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I would certainly look at a return of at least 6% net across my whole portfolio to make sure that 6 or 6.5%, I think, is quite an achievable number.
Yeah.
It's a sensible target. You can have some apartments within that that are generating maybe 8%, and maybe some of the villas maybe do generate 5 or 5.5%.
Yeah.
But that can at least give you a bit of a diverse portfolio as well.
Yeah, agreed. And then, of course, you're hedging your bets against maybe interest rates. So if you are leveraging some of that, then at least you should be getting at least an income that sits above your kind of baseline for the interest rate. And then in addition to that, hopefully you're not really leveraging more than kind of 65% from the bank as well, to make sure that you're not really sitting in negative equity. So
I think that's quite a sensible number. Yeah. So it's always probably going to be the debate forever and a day, isn't it, as to how much, you know, it's partly down to the individual, what's their appetite for risk. You would probably, people would be looking at sometimes 80, even 90% debt.
Correct, rate, exactly.
You know, debt. So loan to value. So the question obviously is very subjective. It's down to the individual as to what's acceptable, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's probably quite a short answer, to be honest with you, but I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's just understanding the different ways you can kind of scale your investments. Another one for me would probably be spreading across locations and maybe even developers. So as we know, like Emar, for example, they kind of very much sit within the kind of master communities. Mm-hmm. And then you might find some boutique developers who kind of hop in and out of some of these master communities that Emar would typically build. So the likes of Ellington Properties and so on. And again, the benefit there would be the difference in payment plans and delivery dates. So for example, based on more recent launches, EMR typically for an apartment or any given community now are saying about 3.5 to 4 years for completion. But if you're entering the market today and just buying everything with a 4-year sort of completion, then you've got a lot of money out, not really doing too much for you at
the
minute.
And that's probably not the best advice.
No, not at all.
Maybe if you're looking to, you know, certainly to scale your portfolio and to try and generate income, then it's probably quite important to start thinking about real estate supposed to be real, right? So as much as we love selling off-plan property, at some point that has to hand over and that someone has to manage it and all the rest of it, which we come onto in different videos. But yeah, so at some point it needs to be real estate needs to be real and needs to start generating you an income.
Correct, exactly.
So I think if you can, in terms of scale, if you can plan to have units that hand over the next 2 or 3 years steadily,
I
think that's.
And then again, it's the other way of looking at it. If you have bought maybe a few and they are on, you know, you purchased them off plan but have different sort of handover dates, is knowing that once you kind of fulfill those payments, you can then leverage that and then freeze up more cash to continue the payments on the other properties that you've committed to.
Sure.
And if you kind of really got it all balanced out, it can actually be like a well-oiled machine. It's just making sure you've kind of set out all the payment terms and you've got a good Excel spreadsheet understanding
and
your cash flow.
And plan carefully and obviously make sure that you've got a good mortgage broker to support you, a good management company to make sure they're managing it and the units are being paid for. And I think that low, you mentioned 60-65%. I think that's very sensible. I think if you've got 30-35% equity in all those properties, I think you're in a very, very strong position.
Agreed,
That you will never, you know, ever be in negative equity and that you can then continue to plan to scale, you know, to scale that inverted portfolio for the future, right? Which is what the goal is. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, some of those investments that we're discussing as well, you know, you'd like to think that some of them would have achieved some really good capital appreciation, so then at which point you could then sell on. Another way you could obviously leverage on some of these investments that you already have is being able to refinance against some of these properties as well, right? So some people may don't actually have the cash to hand to kind of reinvest, but maybe sitting on a bit of equity.
Could be able to leverage that with the bank, right? Which is really important. And it also, I guess, depends a bit on what age you are and what your you know investment goals are, and certainly your goals for your property portfolio. You know, if we're sitting here and you're in 30 or 40 and you've got another 20 years of working in front of you, you'd be in a very, very different position than someone who was perhaps a bit older, maybe 55, 60, that was looking to retire next year.
Correct.
You know, the person who's about to retire wants to generate as much income as possible.
For
so you'd want to pay off that property,
absolutely,
that investment portfolio, and make sure that it's paid for and it starts paying for your retirement.
Absolutely.
Whereas we might be sitting here today and thinking, right, let's take on a bit more debt, create a bit more leverage to build a bigger portfolio. We can accept the fact that we don't make a return, let's say a monthly income for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years because we're working and we're making income that way.
Yeah.
But we want to generate the biggest pool possible so that when we do retire, that obviously creates an even bigger rental return, which
I think
is quite important.
That comes down to kind of really good conversations as well, right? So a question I often ask people as well is, you know, what is a plan when we're trying to understand someone's financial objectives? It's actually that, you know, of course, who doesn't want a second income or a passive income, but do you need it to sustain your current lifestyle, or is it just like a nice to have? I mean, a great nice to have, mind you, but
of course.
Do you actually need it to sustain your lifestyle? And if it's the latter, then it's a slightly different conversation, but I think sometimes you can be maybe a bit more daring and say, why don't we buy something, get some real good compound interest, if you like, and then maybe flip that, and then we kind of repeat that process. But like you said, on the basis that you might have 10, 15, 20 years of working.
And if you have got that, I think in that idea of delayed gratification, if you don't need to make an income now, you'd be much better off, in effect, reinvesting that money.
Correct.
As you said, maybe making capital growth, potentially selling that, then buying some, you know, properties purely for rental investment at 7-8%. With a view that hopefully once you make the pool as big as possible, make the nest egg as big as possible, if you like, that monthly income you will make in the future will hopefully be even bigger.
To generate the
dream lifestyle that everyone's looking for.
Yeah.
I think we've pretty much covered all of it there. Thank you very much, Rennie. Look forward to our next video next time.
Super, thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. If you've got questions for our next episodes, leave a comment or drop us a message on social media. Find the links in the show notes below.